Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Morning, David.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm on the right side of the dirt.
Yeah,
So, guess that counts for something.
I'm an RFP hell.
Oh, how's that going so far? Go so far.
We're just really getting it cranked up now, kind of working on like the purpose statement, which needs to be thorough yet brief, right?
Right.
Right, succinct. And then the background part and the I in the past have taken to like to produce this list, last list of functional requirements. I took my known list of things and compared it to like two or three other large metros that had published one in the last couple of years around, this is 2018, right? And I created my own list and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to try Claude out.
Oh, yeah.
And so I took like a dozen list of functional requirements and asked it to merge and deduplicate. And it did a terrible job. I'm like, you, I'm like, even when I got really specific, I'm like, making sure that it's actually got ODLIS, the Online Dictionary of Library Information Science, in its, training and to instruct it to do semantic matching and whatnot. It is not deduplicating and it's doing a terrible job.
Oh man, that's what you get for trying to use technology to make your job easier, David.
Yeah, well, it's reading somebody's like meme. It's like, AI is so awesome. It knows so much about so many things I don't know anything about, but it's weird because it like, is wrong about 40% of the time on something I'm an expert in. And there's a TechCrunch or somebody published an article. I can't remember who it was. The title's brilliant. It's like AI is the ultimate Dunning-Kruger machine. And dude, I've never read a more apt description in my life.
Well, I guess that's the benefit of working in library systems is it's just niche enough that no big AI cares about
We do.
it. So
The reason why no big AI cares is because we don't make money. We don't
that's
create revenue, right? And that's the biggie. But
Yep.
I digress.
We'll give it till about 9:05. I have to ask graciously that we end today's meeting at 9:45 because I have a commitment. And so we'll see what we can get done in 9:45 in 45 minutes or 40 minutes. But I'm looking at the last leg of the journey, I feel like, on this Moscow document, and I'm hopeful from today that we will get the last five entries that are there graded, and then why I have my list pre-filtered to be those items that are must-haves that currently have no function that Folio does not currently support at all. And then I'd like
Which
to
tab are you in currently?
in pub service.
We're in public service. Okay,
You
cool. Just
got
want to
it.
make sure. Okay.
And I'll go ahead and throw the link here in the chat because it never hurts to post it twice. And oh, I see you're there, David. And then of these items that are must and none that gets left here on the list, take those and prioritize them if we had only, enough money to do one, what's going to be number one to get developed? And then if we had enough money for two, what are those top two? And then that will give me some guiding direction on what to represent on the gap analysis, and then what to start bringing to the other special interest groups to get the feature fleshed out and detailed and shovel ready for a development team. So, with that, I've managed to talk for 120 seconds. So, with that, I will go ahead and share my screen number four. And I've learned now that I do have to click the share button when I'm done. So, let me see if my screen is visible. Can you
I see
see?
you.
Hurrah! All right. So, some of this, we're just going to ignore all the musts for now, musts and nones, and look at identifying these last four or five. So, number row 81 for item priority. I know we briefly touched on this last week. Or last meeting, that when there's an available item at main and your pickup location is at main, it will attempt to do that first. And then after that, it does a random selection based on viable items for fulfillment. So there isn't a ranking system on branch priority. So my question here is this a must-have or should have, could have, don't need?
Well, I feel like I'd say it's partial.
Okay.
Because it is ranking it based on
Yeah.
the location you're requesting, right?
Yep.
From. And we'd have to figure out how to make that always the location everybody is requesting from. But that's not a none, that's a partial. But I think it's actually also a must. Right. At the very least, we need to be able to pull stuff from the main location, or for most people who do pick up holds from the patrons branch, right?
Right. Yeah, because if you're, because I mean, how does OCLS, you just basically have your warehouse as your central distribution center, right? Is that where the lion's share of your collection lives?
Well, I mean, the main branch has about as big of a collection as all the other branches combined.
Gotcha.
So it's like the first place we want to pull from.
Statistically speaking, oh, you would want to pull there. So if you had,
Because that's where the service is performed, the delivery service is actually performed.
gotcha. But if someone, say, had was making the request from Liberty or I don't know what one of your other branches are. If they had one in stock at a place to pick up, and that's where they were going to pick it up, then this Folio would satisfy that presently. But
Right. If
then
you were a normal library,
if
which
you're a
we're
normal
not,
library,
right.
and
And I mean,
then
and I feel like that's actually a partial, even though you can't rank them, it's at least ranked one and two, like your pickup
right.
branch and then all other branches.
Because technically, your pickup branch. How that would work in Folio is that your service point for delivery, right? Your delivery service point would be associated with the main or central branch collection. So
Right,
if
we would
someone
just make
said,
everybody associated with that.
pretty much that if I want to pick it up, quote unquote, pick it up from or have it delivered, it's going to default to your primary collection building because that's where the service point is associated. So that sort of satisfies the need of using that central data or central repository for request delivery fulfillment.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
However, it would be really cool If you could rank
The
fulfillment.
larger branches over the smaller branches, because, fulfilling a hold from a smaller branch is a bigger burden on a smaller branch than a larger branch.
Exactly. And that smaller branch might be purposely set up to serve an underserved community where you don't necessarily want that collection to be redistributed to other branches or other patrons. So at the so a
I
must
mean,
or a should.
I feel like that's a must. I mean, even if I wasn't at my library and I was at a normal library with normal holds, I would still expect it to fulfill from the patron's specified hold pickup location before trying to bring it in from another branch. I feel like that's core functionality in an ILS.
Yeah, and I like the idea. I think I told you this in the last meeting that in Horizon there was rankings based on that you would develop geographical locations based on mileage differences.
That's cool.
That even if you weren't like manually putting in, oh, it's X amount of miles from here to here, that you would be able, you as an administrator would be able to set, okay, if the request is pick up at Hilliard, then I want to give priority to Shadle because it's the next closest. Then I want to give priority to Indian Trail because it's the next closest or whatever. And then you could build those if this, then that rules for prioritization based on pickup location.
And maybe you put that in there as another feature and make it a should have. Because if I was at a normal public library that did those regular holds, I would want that. I would think, my lib I wouldn't want that. I would believe my library would want that.
And I
I
think
mean,
that
we're talking about like basic, operational efficiency here,
yes, exactly. And that's exactly. Operational efficiency is the best way to put that. And I don't think that academic libraries wouldn't benefit from this as well, where they're hiring courier services and stuff like that to route these items around. It makes sense, where they would want to give, the law library is going to be at the bottom of the list, right? Where they're gonna it might have the most available copies, but they don't want those to go out first. So let me see. Renew items on hold. Staff can renew items with a request pending if other items are available. So I didn't rank this because I feel as though this is solved with title level request. In that the way that title level requests work is you have a pending, you placed a request and it's in limbo. It's not assigned to an item. But then you have a item that's checked out and the customer, it's coming up on the due date. If there's a request on the title, it's getting moved to one of the other items that are available anyway. So I think that this is solved. This is almost, focused on item level requests. So that might be, if you're in a situation of an encyclopedia where you have two sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica and customer A has, Volume 4 checked out, and customer B wants volume as volume 4 is on hold for them. That you would have to move that request from one specific item to a different specific item before you could renew. So I don't know what the other use cases are when title level requests might actually satisfy this requirement.
Yeah, I'd have to go back so many years to figure out where that actually came from.
Because I mean, and this might have
If it's
just been a
other, yeah, I
behavior
mean,
of your ILS.
if it's still associated with the title, then it shouldn't stop you anyways.
Yes, exactly.
I get what you're saying.
So I almost say n this is not applicable because it's satisfied by just how the nature of the request module.
Yeah.
Okay. Now these I found interesting. Blanket author requests. James Patterson. I don't care what's there. I want everything from James Patterson and place a hold on it.
Yeah, I
That
feel like
is.
this was something that OCLC was saying that they had in WISE, and it was just we just figured we would go on and put it in there as a list item.
Gotcha.
I'd say it's a should or would be
Or
good.
could,
I mean,
yeah.
could.
Yeah,
I
it would be
mean,
nice. It
yeah.
sounds like something that could be worked into the discovery layer.
You know, and that almost makes more sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's unless you're asking a staff member to do it for you at a desk, then being able to just do
Almost,
it in discovery.
God, I'm almost thinking like, I mean, do you just have a save? Does this just work from saved searches instead? You know,
Where
like
you have your
place,
list, yeah.
and like, you know, you have a warning message up at the top. You have X number of holds that you can place, you know.
Right.
Let's
Does
just
this
leave
not
it. Leave, just.
require, sorry to interrupt,
No, pardon
does
me.
this not require authority control? Who's the author? Who's the real author?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
there's another James Patterson out there. So would you get the those items as well. Excellent point, Rob.
Yeah, I think that would be get into using an authorized name in a saved search as opposed to just a keyword.
Yeah.
As
Or
opposed to a keyword author, but like an authorized name, yeah.
what is is it reverberization? No. Not and it's not ferberization. There's a word, and I actually reviewed one of these entries earlier, and I'm like, oh, this is satisfied by a discovery layer function, where basically you're using that authority control in discovery to say this is all James Patterson,
Yeah.
and using I mean, ultimate goal is to leverage BibFrame, to that end, where you have the authority records for free, essentially. And then you're displaying here are all the titles associated with this URI, this individual author. Because that's a, I was talking with Gordon about this. One of my developers is that, J.K. Rowling has other books published, but she uses a different pen name. It's the same person, right? So when you were talking about, I want to request everything from J.K. Rowling, is that J.K. Rowling the individual or J.K. Rowling the published author under that particular name, right? So that does get a little murky kind of quick. And I think that that is a heavily discovery layer feature. In my never to be humbled opinion, I think that kind of goes along the same way with the request series.
Yeah, you have to have some kind of like I OC this I know was an OCLC thing that they were pushing. And just seeing how series have to be controlled to
Right.
be corrected in Aspen in the series module within there. I'm not even sure I would trust that.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Having just requested, now I'm not gonna lie, I wouldn't mind having this feature as an end user because my children asked just today I placed the request on the last two of a nine-part series. And it would have been really cool to just return one and know that the next one was going to come when it was ready. And so I wouldn't mind putting this on here just for myself as a would be nice to have. I don't think that any library, well, and I might be wrong, we're kind of in an echo chamber with just the two institutions. But I don't think any library would go, I cannot possibly move to this ILS without being able to sequentially place holds on a series. So I would say that it would be nice to have. I know that I, as a patron, would like to have it. So that's my own biases showing in this feature. And then this one I made, the last note was not giving preference to a particular format. So I'm a patron, I'm looking on the catalog, I'm looking up the Pegasus series, and I want to place a hold. And I don't care if it's in an ebook, I don't care if it's physical print, I just want to place a hold. So we at Spokane do not load our digital records into Folio, but we use the OC, or not OCLC, the Overdrive connector that's built into ViewFind, and then we
Yeah,
sideload the record. So I think you probably do
we
the
have
same.
stopped loading them into the ILS.
And so I really feel as though this is, simply put, a discovery layer function where, as a matter of fact, our county library, Spokane County, whoops, Spokane County Library, oh, jail roster, that's helpful. Their catalog has the different format options. And so I always just search dogs, that's my go-to. This is something that we plan to bring into ViewFind, but SCLD, they use Aspen. This might look familiar to you, David. Where right here it shows, hey, we have it in all these different formats. So why would we load that in the ILS and try and do that when it comes built in for free, where the patron is actually using it? So I feel as though this is definitely satisfied by discovery. So, on that note, if
Yeah,
we
that's like I said, we're getting into territory where like the world has changed in the past 7 years.
Yes. It's
And
changed in the
some,
last 7 minutes.
yeah, I know, man, dude, like some of these requirements just don't even make sense anymore. Because when I was writing them, that was something we expected, that there would be some level of integration. There really wasn't a solid public library specific discovery service yet, you know. I mean, Mark Noble had been working on different iterations of PICA, ViewFind Plus and PICA and stuff, which ultimately became Aspen, but you know, there were a couple of EDS implementations out there and a couple of WorldShare implementations
Yeah.
into public libraries, but there wasn't anything that really met public needs just yet.
Yep. Yeah, having a holistic, comprehensive public library discovery, I feel like is a hard target, especially when the needs are so, there's a swath of needs. Whereas over the last 5, 6 years, there's been a lot of effort into making things like Aspen and ViewFind flexible enough to be used across the spectrum for academic or public libraries or different public libraries. So, that said, if you had asked me when we first started this list, how much of this was not going to be in Folio, I would have said, oh no, oh no, oh no. But surprisingly, we're
That's
down to,
a pretty short list.
that's a pretty short list. 7 items on here that are the must-haves that Folio does not, does not natively support.
There's only a couple of killers that I fear will not be in technical services. I'm kind of, I'll be curious when we get into there. Because here's the thing, it's going to do almost all of this, except for where workflows are built around ordering and receiving many, many copies of one title. Like, and, predictive barcode writing
So
upon receiving. That's the one I'm kind of looking forward to getting into there.
And there is, I know that that is a feature that we are not currently using. And I did have a conversation with Rob about this recently, that in Snapshot, there is a feature for automatic barcode generation.
We talked
And
about this, didn't we?
I think we did. I think we did.
This is all sounding familiar.
Yes, and of course, now that I'm here, I can't remember exactly where it is.
Okay, it's fine.
But it does exist somewhere, and I talked with Rob about it, and we would have to change our workflow around the process of Folio being responsible for issuing the. But you can set your prefix and then set a range and it would automatically generate those, add them to the item record, and then you're just looking up the item record to print the spine labels and barcode labels. And so that does exist. One thing I'm curious about, I know that we're going to get into our technical services. I'd actually, if we could rank these first, and then we'll go over and start taking a look at that. How much of your receiving workflow, David, is native to your ILS versus workarounds or reports or custom dashboards that you've had to create?
Receiving? Man, it's pretty much all in the ILS.
Is it? Because I know,
I think so.
yeah, for our Horizon workflow, and we have worker, our own custom reports for Folio too, is for Horizon, we had custom reports that were custom processes that we would run that at the end of day overnight or manual clicking by staff to run the execute the SQL query or whatever to push that process through. And I wonder how much of, people didn't realize that Folio, the features that they came to love in Horizon, despite the fact that they complained about it every day, the features that they loved were actually workarounds that we had built custom brewed solutions for, so I'm curious how much of that workflow for acquisitions and receiving and processing is actually just native to your ILS
I feel like
presently.
it's all, I think it's almost entirely done in Sierra.
Gotcha.
And it's probably exactly as it was done in Millennium before it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that answers that question for me.
I'm thinking through what that entire process. There are a couple of manual processes in that department, but I don't think any are like in just how they create orders because we don't use EDI and stuff, you know. They're just like weird little custom orders here and there, but I mean, items are attached to those orders and those orders are received. And, the first item barcode is scanned in and then it predicts the rest of them for the number of items they're receiving. And that's all done in the ILS because they scan those predicted barcodes in and it like checks them in. Like all done inside there.
And then, do you do pre-processing of the barcodes and stuff? So when you unpack them, they're already.
We had some, but Baker and Taylor, so
Yeah, gotcha.
it was mostly lease items.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested. I was talking to Rob about that you guys basically operate like an Amazon warehouse. well, fine oiled machine, that I would be interested in picking your brain on. I wonder in your years past if you ever built a flow chart. I know that you did that previously for other ILS systems. Have you had a flow chart of acquisitions and processing or
No,
CV?
I've never flow charted or acquisitions. I've done a lot of other more circulation related workflows, but I've never flow charted or acquisition stuff.
Gotcha. Is that something that you're gonna have to dig into as you're doing the RFP hell?
I don't know. Not really sure.
Well,
Would have
sorry
to think
if
about that. 'Cause I mean, here's the thing.
you
Trying to shoehorn a new ILS into an old ILS's workflow is just not going to work anyways.
Yep.
We're gonna,
That's
I
what
mean,
we
you have
found.
to change with your ILS. You have to.
Yep.
So.
And I think I've told this story. I will tell this story until the day I die. That when we migrated to Folio, there was a laundry list of things we had to have before go live that I was, not necessarily paying attention to. And so we migrated to Folio, and this 97 row Excel spreadsheet, after 2, 3 months of being on Folio, I said, okay, I need everybody to reevaluate this list and tell me what you need. And there were 7 things that went, they went from 90 plus down to 7 of, yeah, I guess we actually need only this. And so, yeah, like you said, trying to shoehorn an old ILS workflow into a new ILS is going to be a challenge.
I think my what aside from processing many items to one title in an acquisitions flow, my other concern then is just really going to be how much this scales down, because this is going to probably be the most complex acquisitions module ever built for an ILS, with the exception of maybe Alma, because, Orvis, Cascade, and the others gave the Open Library Environment spec to Ex Libris to build it, I just, that's the other trick is going to be, can we simplify it enough to our needs? That will be the other side of that coin.
Right.
But and then printing.
Yeah. The saga continues. So on that note, let's do a prioritization of these last 7 items on here. Configurable limit on claim return. Right off the bat, I'm thinking that this what you have highlighted here, number 40, is important for us. Where if a damaged item comes in, it triggers the hold, and so then you have to go and edit the request and move it to a different item or move it back to the title level queue. If you check it in and realize that it's damaged. And so there is no at present automated way to correct this. That's line 40. So I don't want to give it priority number one, of course, because there might be something on here that's, for example, request limit, number of holds a patron can have by item type. That's required for OCLS. So what's your gut shot, David, on the most important things of this 7-item list?
Circulating checked out. Checked out to another user. Overrides is pretty high.
Or okay.
That's up there.
For escalation, privilege escalation.
All the printing ones. I don't know that I could rank these
Yeah.
like one through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 or whatever, but I could say like highest to
Yeah,
highest
top.
and
Yeah, do top versus medium versus low. I would say both of
I'd
these
say
are
the
top.
renew check-in would be the lo what would be the lowest. Renew and check out. I mean, if I and I would say we sent to collection agency. I'd say that the collection agency reports are a lower one because there's workarounds where you can write your own reports, right? The claims return configuration thing is low because we don't even use our currently use our claims return process correctly anyway. So why is that even a must? I'm not sure. I did not rank these. I created forms and I had our key stakeholders answer
Yeah.
these and I compiled their answers and that was a must. I'm like, how? Okay, sure, man.
And this one, I think I bumped this one because our school district wants to set limits for their ILS. So that one may have been
Okay.
me.
No, that was okay. No, cool. I got you. Well, that may be really important to you then. I don't know. I want to make that a lowest then. That's my gut check though. Limit number of, I'd say the number of holds by pay item type is lower. All the printing ones are highest.
And then circulating checked out, an item presented for checkout is checked out to another patron
Medium.
and it opens with dialogue. So you would have to check in the item and then check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. That's two extra clicks. So we go.
Yeah, medium to low. But the
Okay.
overrides and the printing
These are the
for
highest.
I think for us. I think for us, those are the highest.
Okay.
And then everything else can, I can do whatever.
Beauty. Okay.
I mean, and frankly, you're the people actually running it right now. So, I mean, I think y'all have a lot more say on which of these get picked up,
Well, and that's one thing that I'm really hopeful is that as we can encourage more public libraries to join the SIG, is there is an opportunity that is presenting itself where we, not just Spokane, but we as public institutions might get a dedicated quarter, like not even a half FTE, not even a half time, where we might have some development dollars made available to us. And so that's now there's a little bit of a fire under me to try and get some of these shovel ready. Because
Yeah, how much of this is so? I was asking Mike Gorell for contact information for submitting an RFP, and he's like telling me that they have some initiative, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting. When do you think it'll? It's like he's talking like sometime in April that they'll have more information on it, and I'm like wondering, is this that initiative or is you working on this that initiative? I haven't seen anybody from Index data in here for a couple of meetings now.
I think it's probably related.
Okay.
I know that the they're watching these this space and our needs, And so the sooner that we get some of these represented as needing to be done and ready for developers to pick up, I think that EBSCO and Index Data realize that the time for harvest is now, and that it's time
Yeah.
to start focusing on seriously focusing on public libraries.
There's a lot of big libraries with RFPs out right now,
And we they
including
should.
Seattle.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see when this was published. Where is that? Sorry, give me just a second. Let me go look this up really quick. This is under that space, RFP examples, Seattle. When was this published? Where's their RF basic RFP document? Not the.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking for the top level document.
I see
What are the
the
dates on it? Is what I'm looking for.
procurement opengov.com. I see one.
Yeah, that's where I downloaded it from.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, so once again, good opportunities.
Right. I think okay, so bid is due. Oh. The bids were due September.
Yeah, I was just looking at that posted in July.
Wow, man, they jumped too soon.
Yeah, and but they sure didn't give very long to
No.
they issued the RFP in July 31st, and deadline was August 20th.
See who else
So,
is out right now.
whew, that's quick. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
I know, dude. Wow.
Just take
That was
that.
intense, man.
Right. That's, I need a cup of coffee after that.
Yeah,
Might I
pass it.
suggest Celsius energy drinks? Right. I should have disclosed at the beginning of this SIG meeting that paid programming or paid product placement was included.
DC just did one last year.
So I it sounds like we're talking around, and if I could like interject some. So
Yes.
we are gonna our contract with TLC for Carl X expires next year. We are currently like we've been trying to talk with other libraries to determine exactly what our route forward should be. There is local, like hyperlocal, like my team. Kind of the idea is we'll go with by water supported COA instance. But still looking at options. And so the so what so it looks at this point, what does index data support look like? So what I would like most is locally controlled instance, with like, hey, I screwed something up, somebody to call.
Okay. Yeah. Our experience with index data has been superb, off the charts. One, you just said, hey, we screwed something up. We need some help. So a little bit of info here that we're totally not embarrassed about. We accidentally deleted all of our students'
Yeah, I think
records
you
from
mentioned that
Folia.
before.
Yeah. And index data within, 2 minutes of sounding the alarm was responding and was able to get. We could have done a restore and gone back to yesterday's date or whatever, but they were able to massage our journalized database and massage the data from the journalized database and reinsert all the records for those students. And so we didn't even lose a day; we lost 20 minutes of.
What?
Yes, because the
All right, so
journalized
who
database,
was the tech who came up with that?
it was Wayne at Index Data, and then Gordon Goldner, who is my DevOps guy here. And so they were able to massage that. It has a full snapshot of the JSON record. And so they just massaged that JSON and inserted row by row and restored all of the student records within 20 minutes.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a yay, hooray, don't ever use the delete endpoint ever again. And then the second one and then because you can filter by that delete endpoint too, so you can just go grab all users with this patron type and just nuke them and destroy your life. And then the other yay hooray was Index Data's response was just we couldn't have done that fast. And then the second was yay hooray for the versatility of that journalized reporting database. That we had up to the moment snapshot of exactly the way the system was at that point in time and did a ad hoc restore
Yeah,
of user
that is
records.
right. That is an architecture that I don't know of in any other ILS.
It was amazing. And so our experience with Index Data has been, I can't sing their praises enough.
Okay, and then what? You know the answer, you know the question that I'm going to ask is how much does it cost you? And then what are the services that you get?
Okay, so we pay between, I think it's $60,000 and $80,000 a year,
Okay.
and I hope that's I'm not
Yeah,
breaking any
I'm not
rules
a
by disclosing
lawyer, I'm not, yeah.
that. And so, and from that, not only do we get the excellent support from them when we break something, but they're also our con we relied heavily on them to be our connection to the development community.
Yes.
So I was not participating in SIG meetings and stuff. You guys are already ahead by joining this regularly. And so they were our contact. They were the advocates in the community. They were bringing things to the SIGs and pushing things through development to help us. And then they trained me, right? They helped me to learn how to convene this meeting and get our
Okay.
voices heard and stuff like
Within the
that.
community.
Yes. And so in addition to that, any time we need help with building reports or understanding an API better, their service team will help us with that, just like at an introductory level. But then the second is that we have our two in-house or three in-house developers, one of them specifically building a Folio application. And when we need hand-holding, to understand the architecture, they are a phone call away, right? We'll join a huddle on Slack and they will help Christopher, one of my developers, in understanding mod descriptors and this particular endpoint can be finicky in this way. And so we get a lot of support that probably isn't in our contract, but they're a success partner is
Okay,
really what they are.
how did you end up with three devs on what I assume is a
So one of our developers has been here for a decade and he's our guy. That's Gordon Goldner. And then we hired another one when we migrated to Folio, who was hired specifically to get our catalog working and integrated with Folio and build reports and custom tools and applications. And so he was hired on a temporary basis and has been with us for 5 years. And then the other contract employee that we have is through a partnership with the Washington State Library and EBSCO. And so they fund each 30%. They fund 30% of his salary. And so we use EBSCO and Spokane has this partnership. And so all the work that we're doing with application development in Folio is funded in part by Washington State Library. the IMLS before they things
Yeah,
changed.
imploded
Yes,
and imploded.
and EBSCO. And so we have partners across the board.
So I think what I'm hearing is invite Triple I to pres let it be known that we're looking, invite Triple I to present, and then ask EBSCO for money.
Hey, whatever
Great.
gets whatever moves the ball
Okay.
to the finish line. And so we, we've had great relationships across the board.
So
All of these people are interested.
how does it work with the Washington State Library?
They have money that is part of their budget to contribute to ILS development or open
Really?
source adoption. And
Okay.
so they chose to give allocate those funds to Spokane because we're always trying something new.
What you get when we
Would
get out of the South.
yeah, like, will
You
Washington
know.
adopt us?
I
Because like Tennessee doesn't want us, ex aside from our sales tax revenue.
Right. Yeah, the state hates Orange County. Their current state government hates Orange County, Florida. They hate us so much.
Yep. Living the same, living
Yeah.
exactly the same.
James, I got a question for you, man. Because you're like, y'all have three devs, and I mean, my kind of question I push back, and I want to know from y'all is like, do you think y'all are staffed up to like manage like a
No.
Kubernetes stack like that?
No.
Okay. But you would want to, like, would you adopt Folia with the expectation that you'd hire somebody to run that for you locally?
In at this point in time, I'm not sure. Like,
Okay, I gotcha.
So
I'm
and
also like, I'm the guy sitting in the dev seat, right? Like,
right.
I have built a career out of not having anything to do with the money,
Right.
or management. Like, I've got myself in a place where like I manage nobody, and
Yeah.
I'm largely in an advisory role, and my title is even information systems advisor. So I do think that it would be good for Nashville Public to build on Spokane's model and Spokane's technology. I think that I think that public library, public school partnerships are an easy match that can be replicated, and the technology can be like packaged and delivered.
Yeah. As a matter,
I'm sorry.
no, I was just gonna say, I was talking to my boss about that yesterday, that inadvertently I do my best to represent the needs of K through 12 schools too, because they're on our Folio instance. And they pretty much have a plug and play, what you see is what you get ILS choices, whereas Folio serves as that potential and an opportunity for shared resources, right? Don't pay for the same service twice when local libraries
Yes.
can partner with their school district and solve real problems. And so we're one of the things that we're hopeful to do is pursue grant funding. There's a lot of K-12 grant funding opportunities for open source development that
Wait, what?
that's my boss Tara is like a bloodhound on finding these grant opportunities. And so we're looking at potential partners for K-12 and libraries to do cross app development in
Wait. So
ILS.
talk. I mean, like, you're looking outside the state,
Yes, sir.
like to Nashville.
If you guys would be interested,
Our
then
my
we'll.
old boss was like the grants person. I don't know who the grants person is right now, but let's we can start. I just need something to write with.
We have a grants coordinator that we just hired, and I was talking to her about this, and one of my admins told her to not work on that with me, and I'm going to revisit this if I have to go to the director and say, "Are you insane?"
Yeah, there's, I mean,
But
as
I would love our grant people to talk to one another too, you know.
right. And if that initiative, if EBSCO and Index Data are interested and they're looking at doing initiatives for folio development for public libraries, that's an opportunity that this grant funding can be used to get our priority list taken care of, right? To start moving the needle on this as well. So I think, like I said, I think the time
What
for harvest is now.
okay, what kind of money is needed to move these things forward? Like take, you know, if I were just out coming with it out of pocket, you know, how much would it take to cover 80% of our gap list?
So if we looked at the list that we came to today, which has seven items that are must-haves but aren't included in Folio natively, I mean, I would look at that and total dev time for all of that across the spectrum, I would say maybe 80 to 100 grand to get, and that's with putting it through all the paces and making sure that all the features are included across academic and everything spectrum. And that is for it to natively exist in the ILS,
Yes.
as opposed to, hey, we want to hire a developer and build a workaround report, right? Which is always possible. But
Yeah.
in order to get it as part of the system itself, that would be the figure I'd put on it. And that's me knowing
Yep.
only what I know.
Understood.
I'm not an expert by any measure.
Right, and I'm not a lawyer. I'm not holding you to it.
Perfect.
Okay. This is all very interesting. So, just if you did a walkthrough with other folks on my team earlier, Lane would not herself revisit that meeting. But has anything changed significantly since that point?
What do you mean?
Would a demonstration of Folio at this point look different?
Not in our system.
Upgrading.
We're slated to upgrade to the latest version in May. And
Okay.
so we're actually a couple versions behind. We're the Alamo of Folio libraries, actually. We're the last one on this old version. And so we have to get that upgrade going. And so maybe not a significant number of changes. I can't remember when we met and if it was
Yeah,
before we
my
did
guess is
title
6 months
level
ago.
requests or
Yeah.
but we have yeah, I'm just trying to think of what else may have
Thank you
changed in
for
that time.
responding to my scattershot questions. In your description of services earlier, I didn't hear hosting. Is that right?
Oh, right. So, that price point that we gave does include hosting with Index Data. We
Okay, and
do
so
cloud hosting in Amazon East, and then but we do have the eventual goal of self-hosting. And so part of the work that we've been doing this first quarter is we have our Kubernetes stack up and running, and we're looking at testing live migration of other services next week with the eventual goal of being self-hosted in Folio. And that's only with one DevOps guy. But then what we would hope to do is partner with Index Data or EBSCO and have them be basically our second tier support that if our
okay.
Kubernetes guy wants to go kayaking, then we could reach out to someone there to swoop in and restore all of our students in a pinch.
This is all very interesting. All right, I'll be quiet
James,
for now.
I got a question, another question for you, because you're talking Koha. Have you talked to anyone at Montgomery County or Cuyahoga or Anne Arundel? Those are the three biggest publics I know of running Koha
What was
on
the first one? So yeah, so
Montgomery
we've
County,
talked.
Maryland, Cuyahoga County, Ohio, and Anne Arundel County, Maryland are the three largest non-consortial metro publics running. And I mean, there are a lot of, I think, bigger consortial instances that are single tenant, but they're going to have lower standards for it. And I expect they're going to have lower standards for like response time and stuff, you know. Have you talked to anybody, any of those libraries about their experience? I'm getting the impression from somebody else in another software part of the world that has some experience and knows something about it that there are some issues with scaling it that large.
Yes, so we have definitely heard about latency issues, and we have heard that in non-specific, coming from IT, for coming from library management experience, not coming from so we don't really
Operation.
know what they mean when they say latency, or
Well,
rather we don't know the
if admins
details.
are saying it's slow and not sysadmins, that's pretty bad. You know, just saying. I love Koha. I have very, very serious reservations about trying to implement it at our scale.
Okay, so all right, and so that then it is Koa's architecture, or it is Koa's code, right?
Okay, so I think they have done some, I don't know how, it's been over 12 years since I've worked on Koha, okay? But at that point in time, all searching went through one Perl script, search.pl.
Gotcha.
And with just medium small size libraries, service populations 250, 300,000, it could struggle, and you'd have to have somebody go restart services several times it takes sometimes because they just bark and you'd somebody have to go respond to it. I was looking at it on GitHub and it looks like they've split search.pl up into different versions for the different modules. And I don't think it used to be that way. I think at that point in time, there's this one monstrous search.pl for all public and staff searching that had to occur in Koha, went through this one script, and it didn't matter what resources you threw at it. It was just always a bottleneck. I think they have split that up again into separate modules, but we're still running into Perl is a beautiful and elegant language, and it's just not terribly efficient, you know, for like, you know, production enterprise business process kind of interactions. I could be reading that wrong, but that's still my impression. Okay, so you
Beautiful
take
and
you
elegant. I've
it's
never, ever heard either one of those words
Oh,
associated with Pearl.
it is so robust, man. I mean, there's so much in there.
There is so much in there. You can program with the syntax of like most other languages if you just feel like it, which is like not elegant. All right, anyway.
I cut my teeth on it, and I guess
Yes.
maybe that's how Sir Symphony Unicorn,
No,
right?
me? No, it was just straight up Perl.
Oh.
It was the late 90s.
But see how much of the world was, well, I digress. A lot of the world was built on it, and I feel like it's, I don't know, like a lightsaber or something, man, you
Oh
know,
yeah.
because you it's really specific.
Well, and yeah, it was like the only thing that I can actually do, like my one true profession, like I can claim this as like a skill that I have a high level of mastery in, is the regular expression. And
Good for you.
it is all because of Perl. And I generally think of like all textual problems, all data problems
Regex.
are really just regex problems.
Yes. And maybe that's where I'm getting that idea from. At any rate, I digress. So you take discovery out of there, and that is one level. If you are indexing materials for public discovery remotely and not using a Perl script on that Koha server, that I would think takes some of that traffic off there, but you're still talking about circulating 15 branches in a service population of 1.4 million people. I just still am not, it would take a lot of convincing for me to think that it could actually handle it.
Yeah, that is a very helpful insight because, like, when I was saying, like, we don't know the etiology of the latency. We are, other people that we know, just my assumption is Bywater under stocks their hosted servers, and just
Yeah.
so they're I do not know where the problems could be.
Well, I mean, if you are that familiar with Perl and you have the resources, go spin one up with some, go spin
We've
up a
got
virtual
one.
machine, put
We've
some
got
records
one,
in
but
there
it's
and
like
script
8 months old.
some test transactions and load test it and let me know what happens.
Right. Well, that's what I was just about to say. You could always wait, James, and find out after you've done all the migration and gone live.
Right.
That's my sales pitch with Folio is always everybody hates migrating ILSs, but with Folio, you'll never have to make the choice again. Because it's gonna always evolve and always improve. It's only going up from there. And so you won't have to go through this rigmarole another 5 years down the road because you'll have a different and better evolved product
So
5 years
Because
down
you
the road.
don't have to go
Then
rewrite the entire code base, you just create a different microservice that meets your next need, right?
you got it.
But all right, so then Mr. Malloy, what is your financial projection for cost of maintenance of the ILS? My assumption is, you have to grow the cost of staff and support, 5% a year, always, forever. It almost sounds like something you're describing would decrease the cost over time.
Yes, I believe that it'll de decrease the cost over time. I do believe that. So first off, we're a public library. Who gets 5% increase a year?
Yeah, no, but that's, yeah.
And then second is while we are paying for cloud hosted services at the moment, as Folio becomes more mature, it's going, I have believe that it's going to be m easier to self-host and eliminate. That's the lion's share of the cost
Okay,
is the cloud hosting.
and what is prohibit? What are the big blocks to self-hosting like today? Is it the
For
Kubernetes stack?
no, my Gordon was able to get that Kubernetes working very well. For him, it's time. Right. So for us, it was initially, let's make sure we have the correct hardware to do the Kubernetes stack. He has gotten that together. Now it's okay, I want to dedicate your time and stop working on all other projects for the next whatever in order to dedicate the time to do this. And so that is our limitation. So once he has Kubernetes and after, once he has that time, that's where we're hopeful to leverage our partnership with either EBSCO or Index Data to get assistance in moving our services onto our own Kubernetes stack.
Okay, so y'all feel like you actually have the capacity to do that once y'all get past certain milestones.
You got it. Yep. This is
Interesting.
my t this is my goal, is to self-host and to prove not just in concept but in practice that you can leverage an open source ILS and effectively self-host to cut your cost of operation, not just for of public libraries that are continuously budget slashed, but for public schools as well. It's like the ultimate pilot program of resource utilization.
Yeah, except pilots are famous for like not maintaining their airplanes. You've got to have a mechanic that is a separate job, otherwise you never take the thing up in the air.
And so I am confident that we will be self-hosted within the next few years.
Really?
Unless there's some gigantic, monolithic change. And I know Eureka put a little bit of a hitch in the get along. There was a slight change to the API architecture that doesn't
Okay.
change anything. It just makes it a little more complicated to handle sessions through Keycloak and Kong. And so it's just something that Gordon right now is not entirely familiar with. And so while it's a vast improvement in security,
Yes.
it's
It
always that
creates. Yeah.
balance. Yep,
Yep,
it's
yep, yep.
always the balance.
Okay. Man, yeah, if search.pl is still a bottleneck, and if, sorry, I was just thinking about scraper bots and yeah. Okay, I'm gonna thank you very much. Thank you for letting me not talk about the work. So the seven or eight things that are currently on the list, that list is now done.
We have gone through all those public services, and then of the seven that are must-haves but are not featured in Folio, we ranked highest to lowest, with the top three being able to override at checkout, and being able to print checkout and check-in receipts. And I think the next one was configuring claims return limits, which was something that our school district would want. And so those were in the top highest, and then lowers were staff can renew items from the checkout screen as opposed to a couple clicks to get there. And then if something is checked out currently to another patron and you're checking out to patron B, it would automatically return that check-in item and then check it out to the patron, so you wouldn't have to click away from the screen. And
Yes.
then limit the number of holds by type, which was pretty low. The collection agency being able to build reports, which you'll be able to do, but we're working with unique collections management right now. And so that's already underway between Spokane and Unique. And then the last on that list was move a hold on check-in. So and this is a slight deficiency, if you check in a damaged item and it's on request for another customer, it will trigger that hold fulfillment for the other person, so you have to manually move that request to something else. And so we have a workaround report that shows up there where our staff will regularly check that. And of the 6,000 requests every 2 months or whatever, 3,000 requests a month, it's a pretty small number.
Oh, okay. That's kind of shocking to me. I know I encounter the thing in Carl frequently, and
Oh, so there's something similar that you guys already have to do.
Not a workaround. I mean, it's in there.
Gotcha. Feels like a
And
workaround if it doesn't do it automatically, though,
yeah,
right? You know?
I love workaround report as a tag, because that is exactly what all these things are.
Right.
It is perfectly descriptive. Awesome. Okay, and then you had mentioned that you, so I imagine this would be one of the nice haves, would be the interactive hold pick list.
Yes. Yep. And I did a showcase of that last week. And that I have the Jira has been assigned to me.
Oh, okay.
There was one that was created that, surprise, surprise, someone just like Spokane built a workaround and said, we don't care about this anymore, right? And so I reached out to the product owner for that. And so she reassigned it to me and said, please update this with your recommendation and your mock-ups. And we'll talk about it in the special interest group meeting. So there's
Okay.
progress on that too.
Awesome. All right. I think I'm done talking for now, and I think I would like
Yeah, you can always ping me on Slack too, James,
mm-hmm.
if you want to. And if you have questions about our services or if you want to get more into the weeds, you can do
Yes.
that too. If you
Yeah.
want to talk about grant opportunities that we're looking
Yes.
to pursue over the next 18 months, we can talk about that. I mean, you can reach out. I'm here.
Yes, and yes. And like, David, just so you know, you're actually right here on my list, as a follow-up from the meeting that I had earlier, and I'm staring at it and my brain is not grabbing onto why you're there on the list. But
That's great because I'm writing an RFP right now. So, my brain is not there either,
I'm glad we're all in good company.
Oh man, I'm so out of it right now.
And James joined this meeting with way too much enthusiasm. There
I know,
it
man.
is. Yeah, way too much enthusiasm. I'm glad we could put a damper on that.
It's just, it is an opportunity to choose from, crappy used car number one that you don't want, crappy used car number two that you don't
Oh
want.
my God. Y'all, you have no idea how close to home you hit with that. I was just working talking with my director, and I went and made this document for him when we were on the WISE project, and it's like our current situation was like a 1986 Buick Park Avenue, 3.8 liter V6. Reliable. We've already rebuilt the transmission twice. It's got good tires on it. The headliner's falling down. We have replaced the air conditioner, pump, the compressor. And it's like, it is still a functioning car. We know its problems. We know what will break and are prepared for that, right? But, I think at the time I was suggesting like what we want is like a Camry with less than 100,000 miles. And with certain features, right, that still work, that it's old but it's reliable. And I was just pointing like at that point in time, like 5 years ago, that would have been Polaris probably, right? We want to get out of the Buick and into a early 2000s Camry, late 90s, early 2000s Camry with low mileage. And what OCLC Wise was offering us was like, I just came up with some like random Econo like Opel model with no air conditioning currently, but it could be we could install it with an aftermarket kit and and like questionable whether it's
And you're
actually going to
not
be
allowed
legal to
to look
operate on
under,
American streets,
right? You're not allowed to look under the hood.
right?
you don't have a right to repair.
Not
Yeah, so
only can you
it's.
not get under the hood, you're not allowed to like get into the driver's wheel,
Right,
get into
yeah.
the
So
driver's seat.
that was my analogy, and I mean, really, right now I'm looking at Folio as like, a brand new kind of a Camry type car that's like modular though. There's not a good auto analogy for it.
There are these trucks that they've got these days that, you can buy it modular.
Yeah. But
Some
yeah, I
loophole.
mean it is utterly customizable, and if you don't like a part, you can like 3D print a new one. I mean like there's no analogy for this. And there never will be in the auto industry, but that's another story, I'm gonna have a hard time with it. With somebody in my direct reporting line, I can convince my director more than I can convince my own admin that this is a good idea. But I'm doing it anyways. I mean, nobody will actually stop me from pursuing this, even though they will try to stop me from actually doing it, you know? So we'll see how this goes. 'Cause I mean, I still think I may have the director's ear on it, but we'll find out.
And if you need any, have any questions or need help or references or anything, I know Spokane is small, and that's what they keep saying. But if you need some help
Oh yeah.
convincing, you just let me know.
The fact that here's the thing. I'm looking at this like, you know, you're small, but you have three devs, and that you've managed to scale this to your needs says a lot. That's not a downside.
Hopefully they see it that way,
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, since you're like the only public running with index data, I would assume they would use you as a reference. So we'll see.
If they don't, then there's something wrong, and
Yeah,
maybe it
yeah,
was
yeah.
something I said. I don't know.
Well, James, I don't know if you were in yet, but I was talking to Mike Gorrell I was asking for contact information for RFPs, because I'm gonna make sure that we damn well send it to them, even if, like, you know,
Oh, okay.
you know,
Gotcha.
even if the my admin is going to be weird about it. And he was sort of like hinting, he's like, he didn't give me a lot of details, but it was telling me that, you know, they'll be hopefully announcing some kind of initiative for public libraries coming in like in April.
Oh, but not at PLA?
I don't know what PLA's in April. I don't know if that's what he's talking about. He was I wouldn't say cagey, but he wasn't getting into any details with me about it at that time. Just we're still ironing out details of the initiative, probably not ready to share publicly by next week, but hopefully in April. This was last week, so, or the week before. Yeah,
All right,
I don't.
Mr. Malloy, I have one more question for you before we go that I've
Sure.
been. All right, so you said 60 to 80 a year, right? And then what, when do you have an estimate of what Triple I would have charged you for Polaris? Do you have an estimate for what Bywater would have charged you for Co-op?
No, because those would have been well dated by now, being 2019 when we went out for bid.
Yeah, whatever.
And I wasn't part of the
Okay.
review or
Gotcha.
gap analysis at that
I'm
time.
really just I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, so Bywater can usually undercut the proprietary ILSs. They usually do by, you know, something like 20, 25%.
Hey, but if you like your Buick, then whatever.
Man.
just yeah.
No, I'm just trying to get a sense of the
I'm
numbers,
sure
but
there are more cost-effective alternatives. I just the idea of how much money and time are you spending having to do this,
Oh,
I
like,
won't have to
so
do that
seriously,
again.
I just had a conversation with my boss about, like, you know, well, you know, take cost effectiveness off of the table, right? When we do that and we look at what we want and what we need, you know, how then does it really play out? And we're probably still going to hit, you know, somewhere around the current charge that we have.
So at the end of the day, what is
Actually,
that
no, we're
worth?
not. It's just that we've got to adapt to, you know, TLC has just kept us like flat for 10 years.
Can I chime in here with some numbers?
Yeah, I would love to hear
So
numbers.
we were on Horizon, Cersei Dynex Horizon, and we got a 7-year fixed price. So they not only lowered our main